Dean Rona Novick, from the Dean of the Azrieli Graduate School of Jewish Education and Administration at Yeshiva University. And I want to share some thoughts about the psychology of empathy and how we can personally experience Yitziat Mitzrayim, the exodus from Egypt. We've been asking ourselves a lot in this past month how things are different. Why is this trip to the grocery store different than ever before? But even though our seders will be very different than we expected, there will come a moment in the seder when I get incredibly emotional, when I get teary. It's when we say, "B'kol dor v'dor chayav adam lirot et atzmo ki'ilu hu yatsa mimitzrayim." In every generation, every person must view themselves as if they themselves went out from Egypt. We're required to be at the Seder table as ourselves, but at the same time, to be the slaves that left Egypt centuries ago. I can't think of another time in Jewish life or in the in Jewish practice when we're asked to do this. There are other holidays and other events when we are supposed to feel something or when we're supposed to do something. For example, on Sukkot, we live in booths to remember the experience in the desert. And on Hanukkah, we light menorahs to commemorate the rededication of the Beit HaMikdash, of the temple in Jerusalem. On Purim, we're told to feel something. We're to feel happy. On Yom Kippur, we're to feel remorseful. But only on Pesach night, only on Seder night, are we told that we have to have an experience of people long ago. We have to actually feel it as if we are living it. So I'd like to explore this empathy requirement. I'd like to unpack a bit what empathy is and what the Haggadah is asking of us. And then I'd like to consider two compelling reasons for why it's a requirement of our Seder. So here's the dictionary definition of empathy. It is the action of understanding, being aware of, being sensitive to, and vicariously experiencing the feelings, thoughts, and experience of another, of either the past or present, without having the feelings, thoughts, and experience fully communicated in an objectively explicit manner. It's, in other words, being able to vicariously experience another's feelings. Neuroscience has proven that not only is this integral to who we are, but it's integral to survival of the species. It's how moms learn to care for their infants. We feel the pain of our crying children. We begin to understand their experience, and we go and help them. We are actually built with something called mirror neurons. Those are nerve cells that are pre-wired to allow us to feel the pain of others. And there's extensive research showing that when we watch, for example, a video of someone's arm being injured, our nervous system will actually experience the pain as well. Now, psychology generally understands empathy as having two components or two versions. The affective version of empathy, which is feeling another person's pain, and the cognitive component of empathy, which is being able to put yourself in another person's shoes, to take their perspective, to see the world through their eyes. The Rambam, in his Hilchot Chametz U'Matzah, in his Sefer, said he has two additional words in this phrase from the Haggadah. He adds the words ba'atzmo, by himself. Not only does a person have to consider themselves as if they left Egypt, but he says ba'atzmo, they have to consider himself, meaning we can't simply identify with our ancestors. We can't simply have cognitive empathy. We have to experience it ourselves. And he also adds the word ata, meaning just now. And that has been understood to mean that we don't just have to feel that we are the slaves that left Egypt, but we actually have to display, we have to act as if we are just now, right now, those individuals who were freed from slavery in Egypt. Rabbi Elazar Menachem Manshach, the Ponevez Rosh Hashiva, explained that we have to feel as if Yetziat Mitzrayim just happened, not as if it happened centuries ago. And why, he says? Because the emotional excitement that we feel in a moment of personal salvation is incredibly powerful and strong. In contrast, remembering a moment, as important as that moment was and is to us, it's never the same as when we're actually living through it. We won't, if we recall it at a later date, feel the same as if we think about this is happening to us right now. And with an even clearer sense of our empathic mission on Seder night, the Lubavitcher Rebbe says, we can't simply generate the feeling of a freed slave. It's not enough to say, okay, I get it. I'll try to feel as if I'm a person who was recently liberated. No. The Lubavitcher Rebbe says, it is very specific. We have to feel as if we are a very particular slave, a slave to Pharaoh in Egypt, who has just now experienced the transition from Pharaoh's harsh treatment to the redemption of God's freedom. This extreme empathy, by the way, being able to literally feel as if something happened to us and not another person, is not the normal way the human psyche works. In fact, there's only one psychological parallel to living a past moment as if you're experiencing it right now, living something that happened perhaps to someone else as if it's happening to you. And that happens exclusively in individuals with post-traumatic stress disorder. Individuals experiencing post-traumatic stress disorder may, in response to any trigger, a sight, a sound, may re-experience and relive a trauma as if it's happening in that moment. It may be just as if they're back on the battlefield or they're in, God forbid, that car crash. It is very real for them. It's as if it happened at that moment. So we've established what empathy is, and we've established the extreme empathy that's required of us on Seder night, and that it isn't a typical or easy human response. So now we have to ask why. What is the purpose? What were the Balei Haggadah? What were they putting this in the Seder? Why is this a requirement? What does this requirement teach us, and what purpose does it serve? Rav Chaim Freelander in the Siftei Chaim states clearly that this obligation, lirot et atzmo, to see oneself as if you went out of Egypt, is not a goal, but a means to an end. And what he identifies as the true purpose is one of the reasons I would suggest and bring other sources to endorse that we have these psukim in these sentences, this commandment, this obligation in our Seder. One of the clear purposes, the means to the end, Rav Freelander says, is to have us express our deep and genuine gratitude to God, to Hashem. It is only, he says, through experiencing the Exodus ourselves that we could feel a deep and powerful personal need to thank our Redeemer. This isn't something that was done to a third party. This is something that was done to us, and therefore our thanks are going to be heartfelt and genuine and really from the depth of our being. I want to actually thank my son, Gabi Novick, who gave me another supporting source just by coincidence. He happened to write a Dvar Torah for NCSY Israel's Haggadah Companion. And he also provides a supporting source for this notion that we need to see ourselves as redeemed slaves in order to generate gratitude to God. In his Dvar Torah, he asks the question, why, when the Haggadah goes on to tell the story of our experience in Egypt, It begins with the Torah sentences with Psukim from Sefer Devarim, from the book of Devarim. In fact, from Parshat Ki Tavo, from that Parsha. Why not? We're talking about Exodus. Why not take the descriptive sentences that tell the entire story of the Exodus? Why not take those sentences to introduce the section of the Haggadah that is going to tell us the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim, that's going to tell us about leaving Israel? The verses in Exodus, Gabi Novick, my son, notes, I have to give credit, are written in the third person. They tell the story. They're a narrative of events that happened, and in the third person, that happened to someone or some other entity. They happened to Bnei Israel. They happened to the children of Israel when they were slaves to Paro, to our ancestors. Look at the contrast of the verses in Devarim. The verses in Devarim come after we have already been redeemed into the promised land, and we're given the commandment to bring Bikurim, to bring the first fruits as our thanks to God. And what is a person who's bringing this offering of thanks to God supposed to say? Those are the verses in Devarim that are repeated in our Haggadah. The verses start, "My father was a fugitive Aramean. He went down to Egypt. The Egyptians dealt harshly with us and oppressed us. They imposed heavy labor upon us. We cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our plea and saw our plight, our misery, and our oppression. The Lord freed us from Egypt with a mighty hand, by an outstretched arm, an awesome power, and by signs and wonders." The Haggadah speaks first before we go into the narrative and the story. It starts in the first person. We talk about my father and our experience. That's one reason for extreme empathy. Bring us to a place where we experience it so that we can be gracious, that we can show gratitude for all that's been done for us. What's the second reason? Why else should we be put in a position of having to use beyond imagination and beyond empathy to feel as if we ourselves were taken from Egypt, were redeemed from Egypt? The Chatam Sofer writes on Parshat Ki Tetzé that we're made to feel like slaves on Seder night so that we will have empathy for those less fortunate. In Ki Tetzé, in that Parsha, he's speaking particularly about the Torah Psukim, the Torah segments that discuss how we're to relate to the stranger and the convert amongst us. But there are many, many references throughout the Torah, throughout our liturgy, that connect us to our experience as slaves, and therefore to our obligation to empathize with the plight of others and to the social responsibility that is a natural, not only the stranger or the convert, but also the widow, but also the impoverished. There are so many statements of how we need to think about the situation and be empathic for those who are suffering and who are less fortunate than us. Rav Soloveitchik, in his beautiful work, Kol Dodi Dofek, writes about the nature of empathy for the Jewish people in words that seem just so unbelievably powerful and appropriate to what we are going through now. He writes, and I'm going to read his beautiful and unbelievably meaningful words. A feeling of empathy is a basic fact in the consciousness of shared Jewish fate. The suffering of one segment of the nation, prayer, the cry, and the consolation were formulated in the plural. Supplications, prayers, and requests that emerge from the depths of travail are not confined to the suffering and affliction of the groaning individual. They encompass the needs of the entire community. And he goes on to say what we all know. When there is a sick person in one's house, one prays not only for that person, but for all the sick of Israel. When one enters the house of a mourner to comfort him and to wipe the tear from the bereaved's sad face, he directs his words of condolence to all the mourners of Zion and Jerusalem. And whether we are in a house of mourning, by the way, with one avel, with one mourner, or with many mourners, we always comfort in the plural. The slightest disturbance in the state of an individual or a sector of the people should trouble all segments of the nation throughout their dispersion. It is forbidden and it is impossible for the individual to isolate himself from his fellow and not participate in his suffering. In this unbelievably unprecedented time of tsaros, of challenges, of difficulties, I'm incredibly proud and moved by our community, by acts of chesed and connection and togetherness and true empathy and community. But I'm also, as the dean of the Azrieli Graduate School of Jewish Education, unbelievably moved by the skill, the talent, the dedication, and the passion of Jewish educators who, days before Pesach, with their own children at home, who they are now also homeschooling, have done the most remarkable and unbelievable pivot in the history of education and have stayed connected with their students, continued committed to their students' learning and their students' well-being, their students' spiritual, social, emotional, and academic lives. It is a testament to all that Jewish education can and should be. Kol hakavod to all the Jewish educators. Many of them are our Azrieli alumni, making us proud with the work that they do. But all Jewish educators everywhere and all educators everywhere, you have my thanks and appreciation and my absolute empathy. So at our Seder tables, possibly alone, possibly with very few others with us, we will still be connected. We will be together with all the Jews who went from slavery to freedom. We will, we can, we must, we're obligated to emphasize our super empathy muscles, to feel ourselves as if we are leaving a horrible existence and moving, me'avdut l'cheirut, from slavery to freedom, from darkness to light, from difficulty and sadness to simcha. The lessons that the requirement for empathy teach us in the Haggadah are so important now. It is difficult right now to feel grateful. But as a psychologist and in the field of positive psychology, we know that gratitude, being able to focus on what we have and what we are grateful for, and emuna and faith and feeling gratitude to God for the role he plays in our lives, in our people's history, and in our future are all health promoting. They're all ways that help us get through difficult times, and they're part of this lesson of the Haggadah, to be grateful, to be thankful, particularly to a God who has done so much for the Jewish people and for us in our lives. And the other lesson that is so powerful and so important right now is the lesson of empathy and understanding those less fortunate, that through our own experiences of suffering and loss and challenge, through our own slavery, we have learned to be compassionate for those who also experience a lack of freedom, a lack of resources. We have empathy for the needs of others because we knew a time when things were so difficult. Now, when all of us are feeling such challenge, May we together be blessed with a modern redemption, with health and with healing for all. Wishing everybody a Chag Kasher V'Sameach and a Chag of Briyut, of good health.